Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the things you have done already this morning with us. We just ask you, Lord, that you minister to us now through your word, that we may be able to receive, Lord, from you, the things, Lord, that we need to know and hear, so that we may appropriate everything that you have done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to continue on what we started yesterday, last week. And I want to pick up some things that I just want to expand on the things that I did last week. You know, we saw that receiving from God, okay, what God has already done, is a problem sometimes for us because we have a difficulty in understanding and in grasping with our mind the meaning of receiving something that's already done 2,000 years ago, and we need to appropriate it now. There are two parts in what God does. One part is the thing that he did, and he has accomplished already. He has given us, as says in 2 Peter, you know, clearly, all things that we need for life and godliness. To understand fully that, you need, you know, we need to, you have to go to on the video from last week because I'm not going to say that again. But, you know, our part is really now the only part that is missing. We need to understand the way we participate and we are co-workers with God in the things we need to do and receive, to be able to receive. Now, you know, in this society, in this world today, we are used to see everything happening immediately. And if something doesn't happen immediately, you know, we are complaining and we are not happy and we don't understand and we think that we fail. This is not necessarily so. We need to understand. See, spiritual things sometimes are difficult to understand because we don't have the experience to connect with the truth and to connect with what God has done. We need to have a way for us to see in a way that we can understand. And as I was praying for the service today, the Lord gave me an example on should help us to really appreciate and understand what's going on. You know, if you see somebody that is at the gym and is there doing weightlifting and lift 200 pounds, just like nothing. And you think, oh my goodness, you know, if he does it, I can do it too. And you try to pull up 200 pounds and the thing stays there, doesn't even move. The problem is not with the 200 pounds and the fact, you know, there is a problem in your understanding, in your ability to connect with the truth concerning what you can do and what you cannot do. You see, there is a disconnect there between you and your expectation. You are trying to get something that you're not prepared for. And so the idea is for us, it's very similar. There's a parallel here between the physical and the spiritual. See, the things work the same way. We need to be prepared. So if instead of being disappointed because you cannot lift 200 pounds or whatever you want to lift, you know, you are there scrawning and little, you know, skinny muscles, you know, just start doing, and you think about living 200 pounds, forget it. You know, it doesn't make any sense. But when you try to overcome a big problem in a spiritual world, maybe a big disease that the doctor just finished telling you, or maybe something that you can, you're there and you're trying to pray a prayer of half an hour or 2 hours and so on, and you think that you're not getting the results and it's a failure, you got something wrong with your thinking. is the thinking that is wrong, and so the whole consequence of that is that you have the wrong ideas and you give up before you get it. When instead the thing you had to do, like the guy that wanted to lift the weight that couldn't do it in the gym, is to start small. You start for what you can do, and you exercise what you can do. Now, if you have been a Christian for a long time, you should be exercising already all this time. And if you didn't, then I can't help that much. I can just tell you that you have to do something. You know, there is a wrong idea that everybody has the same faith. And this is not what the Bible says. See, in Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says that God has given us the measure of faith. This is the measure everybody gets when they're born again. But it's not the same measure that we should have after we are 20 years believers. You see, in those times, we had to have applied what the word says and applied to our situation so that our faith is grown from where we were at the beginning to where we are now. And sometimes we have the wrong ideas of where we are, so that we get disappointed and give up because this doesn't work. It's not that this doesn't work, that you are not working it right. See, this is why when people say everybody should have the same faith, it's wrong. You know, in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians says very clearly, you know, that was praying for the Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 3, says, you know, I pray that, I see that your faith grows exceedingly. If it grows exceedingly, that means it's not the same. Hello? So the things that we had to do is to do something about making our faith grow. And what you have to do to make our faith grow is not so very complicated. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we had to go to the word. And this is the first part. It's the word that gives us the ability to grow our faith. When the more we grow our faith, the more we are going to be able to achieve spiritually. The more we are going to be strong spiritually to be do things, but we have to understand. You see, it's not just the word. It's the proper understanding of the word. It's the proper reception of what the word means and believing what the word says. There are parts that we have to play. So the part that we have to play is believing the word. But if you don't know the word, there is nothing to base yourself on. Your faith has to be based on the word, because it's the word that is spirit and life, and it's the word that enables you to do things on a spiritual level. You had to start developing your faith. And what part of it is knowing it, and part of it is doing it. James 1:22 talks very clearly about the fact that if you are not a doer of the word, you are only a hearer, you are deceiving yourself. And lots of people think that being Christian is to do Bible studies. Being a Christian is being do Bible applications. Amen. Is doing what the Bible says to do. Amen. In all the different areas that we need to apply it, not just one area. You know, often the problem with people that sometimes have needs in a specific area, they're so focused on that, and they forget about everything else, and so the Lord can actually not make a grip. You know, it's like somebody that wants to lift the weights and does just, exercise his finger. You know, the muscle of his finger is not what you need to be able to lift the weight. So you need to develop the whole spirit being, and it's your goal. The spirit, when you're born again, is new creation, so it's okay, that's done. You know, if you are sick, your spirit is not sick. It's been fixed. What is sick is your body. And because your body is depending on very much on your soul is where the problem is. And we need to change, and this is the area that we need to change, and the area that we need to receive and allow God to modify the way we think so that we can think along with the word of God and we can receive according to what he said we should receive. You understand what I'm saying? You see, we have a part. God expects us to do our part because he has done his part already. When we start understanding that, we need to understand what we had to do. So you see, just reading the word is not enough. You need to hear from the word the things that we have actually to do that applies to our situation that sometimes have not related to the things that we want him to do. Okay. But the point is that is what makes a difference. That is what gives us the victory. You know, we have different aspects, we have different side of it, different function. We do different things. We are complicated being. And because of that, there are many things sometimes that are involved. And when we come out with the formula about the solution, generally doesn't include the things that we need to know. Like, you know, the things that even I said before. You know, we need to know the word, we need to apply the word, and we need to grow up. Well, start doing that. It's more complicated than just those three sentences that I put together. And we need to have revelation of what is involved so that we can line up with the word of God and allow the word of God to give us the victory that we need. He has to speak to us. Our relationship, you see, we are not into a religion. We are into a relationship with the Heavenly Father through Jesus and through what he has done and through the Holy Spirit that dwells in us if we are born again so that we can receive from him the direction that we need to know the things that we need to do. God doesn't want us to be sick, doesn't want us to be messed up, doesn't want us to have problems. He wants us to prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. But if our soul doesn't prosper, we cannot prosper. See, our soul is where we make the decisions. It's where we take the steps. It's where we believe. You know, believing is not always easy when, you know, what you see and what you experience is different from what you actually, the word of God says that you should experience and feel. And so this is the way that you have to, our spirit and our soul has to be modified so that we can agree with God in the things that you need to change, that you want changed. And so we're going to get more in detail on that. You see, essentially what we are talking about is walking according to the direction of God. God's direction that he wants for your life. And to do that, you have to hear from God. And everybody, every believer, should be able to hear from God. If he's in a relationship with him. Because if you can't hear from God, then you are not in a relationship with him. The thing is, sometimes people say, well, I don't know what God is telling me. The reason is that they expect God to work in a certain way when generally it doesn't work that way. God works through inside us. He speaks through our thoughts. He speaks through our feelings. He speaks to the way in our intuition. He speaks for you know, all these ways so that we sometimes, you know, use other way that are more spectacular. But we want the spectacular instead of really wanting the truth. And sometimes we don't want to hear the truth because we have the wrong ideas about God in the first place. We think that God is going to take away all the fun from our life, when instead it's the opposite. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. Amen. So if there is fullness of joy, we shouldn't be afraid for him to tell us what he wants us to do, because, you know, say, well, I'm not going to ask, you know, God, anything you want me to do, I will do it, because he's going to send me some terrible place I don't want to go. This is not the way God works. This is a good father. You know, to think that way, that means you don't know God. Because that's not the way he works. You know, the Bible says that he shall give us the desires of our heart. Now, we have to be very careful about applying that scripture. Because we can think that because anything that we want is okay. That's not true for somebody who's not born again and is not committed to God. See, the difference there is somebody that is committed to God, his desires are and is born again, his desires are God's desires. Amen. And one of the things that God does after we are born again and start a relationship with him, he gives us to us his desire and put them in our heart, so that when we do the desire of our heart, we actually do the will of God. Okay. Are you following me? So really, you know, that one boils down to the being no reason. No reason whatsoever to be afraid to connect with God. He's there to bless us. Beloved, I wish above all things. Can you say all things?
All things.
All things that for you to prosper and be in health. What more do you want? Amen?
Amen?
But we have to go line up with him so that you don't destroy what he's trying to do in our life. And so we have to learn to listen to the Spirit and walk with the Spirit so that we can be in line, I line up. We can be following his direction. And the first thing that to do is to, you know, has to do with our mind. It's our mind where it needs to be changed. You know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says very clearly, for those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of what? The Spirit. So is this, we had to learn, how do you set your mind on the things of the Spirit if you don't know what the things of the Spirit are? And you can get that as God speaking to you through the Word. It's the Word of God. So really, where you keep your focus, what you focus on. If, for example, you see, so there are the areas and we experience problems. Say, for example, symptoms that we are sick or financial difficulties or whatever. If we fix our eyes on those things, we just are not going to be hearing God. We need to fix our attention, our eyes on the Word. And the Word is going to minister to us about the things we had to do. And first of all, it was going to affect us. It's going to give us peace about the situation. You see, and then there are things, you know, fixing involves us directing our attention, involves us doing certain things. Okay, and in you read it already in 2 Peter from last Sunday, you know, some of the things it says for us to do, and we have to understand the implication of those things. You know, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, for this very reason, because God has already given all these things, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and so on. So we have to see some of the implications of that. You see, if we have not all diligence, the things that attacks our attention more, what generally attracts our attention are the things we don't want. I mean, if you are in pain, our mind is going to be on our pain. If you have a financial problem, our mind is going to be on the debts that are accumulating, and you're going to, run into problem in that area. Okay. So how are you going to fix your mind on the things that are the spirit instead of the things that are on the flesh? The things that are on the flesh scream at you for your attention. And it takes a considerable amount of effort to redirect our attention to the things of God. And God said, if you are sick, by his stripes, you were healed. So that has to become a reality to you more than the symptoms you have before you're going to receive it. Unless God works through a gift of miracle and then it happens like that. But if it happens because of your faith, and this is the way to please God, you had to start focusing on what God said instead of what you feel. So you had to give all diligence. It's the same thing about the guy that has, you want to develop muscles. You had to start with all diligence, lift him up, weight. When you do that, you're going to see some results. But don't expect when you begin to be able to lift everything that you want to lift, you have to start lifting something that you can handle. Many people that have, worked with faith in the past, they say very simply and all the time, you start with something small. Start believing God for a pair of socks, or, a bow tie, somebody said. Whatever things that you have enough faith to actually receive. And start applying that on a repeated basis all the time, continuously applying your faith at different things, and you always grow from faith to faith as a faith that can receive more because you can stretch yourself. It's very difficult to overcome, cancer if you have cancer. If you have never received a healing for a headache when you needed it and you receive it by faith. So you start applying your faith for small problem with small symptoms where you are not scared and you are not overcome by it, because it's easy to work your faith up to believe for those things. And as you get the experience, you're going to be able to stretch yourself more to receive more. Our faith grows like a muscle when we use it. And it's a lie when people say everybody has the same faith. To start with, yes. When you were born again. Our growth, spiritual things have a parallel to physical things. When we are born and we are babies, you cannot do too much. The parents had to look after you, but slowly you learn to do certain things. As you apply yourself and you develop the ability to do those things. As you grow, you can do more and more. I mean, if you come here with, still needing somebody to change your diapers, well, there is a problem after if you are grown up. And we spiritually, that unfortunately happens all the time. As soon as a little problem, they go to the pastor or to somebody else to pray for them because they never apply their faith to receive for themselves. I mean, when you need help, okay. But when, if you always, even for small things, go to get somebody else to do it for you, you better learn to pray. You better learn to apply your faith. You better learn to receive by yourself. I'm not against praying for people. You know, but if anything that happens, you ask somebody else to do it for you, you're never going to be strong enough to do anything. Praise the Lord. You know, Second Peter 1, 5 and following verses till verse 9 is an important part of the Bible to apply and to know and understand and to remind ourselves of the very things that we need to do to have victory. You know, and there are things that are, you know, diligence, faith, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, you know, agape love, you know, all these things that we have to apply as we walk in the Spirit. It says, and when we are going to do these things, if these things abound, are yours and abound in you, we'll never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you cannot have knowledge that is not going to produce anything because you're doing nothing. It's just a mental thing. It's your application that makes a difference. Okay. So, one of the things we have to realize, and this is something that many people are wrong about it, is they think that God is going to do everything. Oh, I'm waiting on God. Well, you wait enough and you're going to be getting nowhere. Because God is waiting on you. God waits on you to act on what he told you to do. And so we need to understand the part we play. And one of the things that God expects from us is for us to put demand on heaven. For us to request from God or whatever is the situation, because God has already done it. So you really put our demand is on the things that have been taken away from us. So you really not even God. Are you following me? We had to exercise authority, not our authority, his authority, recognizing and applying what he has done for us to be able to receive what he has done for us, because he has done it and now for us is to take it. Time goes by. See, Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So it's for us to take and appropriate the things that God has provided for us. It's not an attitude of passivity that we can have. It's not an attitude of God is going to do it. God has done it already. It's not for us to go and tell God, heal us. It's for us to do, thank you, Lord, and take it, it's mine. And to appropriate it by faith. It's for us to start speaking with the authority that Jesus has given us to the things that are hindering us to be able to live at the level that God wants us to live. Our perspective about life has to line up with the Word of God. And he says something like, by stripes, you were healed. 2 Peter 1:24 is the time for us to actually start agreeing with that and imposing it on our life. Hallelujah. We had to start speaking our authority. And this is what Jesus said in Mark 11:23. You know, for assuredly I say to you, say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. I mean, this is not 200 pounds that God, Jesus is telling us to move. I mean, a mountain. Was he joking or he was serious? You can move mountains. You know, there's a song, there's the mountain should be removed. You know, there's another song there. It's the old Pentecostal song. Well, that's, we had to believe that. This is where we are going to make a difference for ourselves and for others. This is what God wants us to do. This is why he says, you know, shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. And there's no doubt in his heart. See, that's the problem. You see, doubting in the heart is the problem. You know, lots of people say that the heart is the spirit. It's not true. The heart is the combination of our spirit and our soul. And if our soul doesn't agree with what the God said to us or what God has taught us in our spirit, then there is a wavering within ourselves. And we cannot achieve anything. We cannot get anything from the Lord. So we have to agree and not doubt in our heart that those things which we say shall come to pass and we shall have whatever we say. And so we have to get ourselves to the place in which we are not wavering. We are not doubting. And we impose. See, the devil is the source. He comes to kill and steal and destroy. Jesus came to give us life eternally. And no, eternal life. The thing is, the devil doesn't like to give up what the territory he got. And so we had to kick him out. But you know, you can kick him out not because of your ability. It's because of your faith. So because of your faith, but you know, you cannot kick out the devil with weak faith. Remember, one of the things that Jesus rebuked the apostles all the time was not about all the other things that they said, but about you or little faith. So you have little faith cannot cast out demons. You have little faith cannot overcome the problem you have. You have to develop strong faith to be able to achieve all the things and the things that God said that you should do. And that means that you are not wavering anymore. Hallelujah. Strong faith. Who wants strong faith?
Amen.
You know, nobody can take it away from you. It's a question of decisions that you had to make. You can make those decisions and start developing your faith no matter where you are today. But there is a work involved in that. There is a commitment involved in that. Commitment to yourself and to the Word. I think we had to close. Hallelujah. So we are going to get more into this strong faith that we need to get. That's a way to please God in the first place. There is, you cannot please God without faith. You cannot please God with weak faith, because Jesus wasn't pleased by the apostles when, because of their weak faith, they weren't achieving the results that he expected. So if he wasn't pleased, God wasn't pleased, the Father wasn't pleased either. So we cannot afford to have weak faith. Praise the Lord. We should pray and close with that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Because with that, we can develop strong faith. And we can have victory in our life and the lives of those who come close to us. Thank you, Lord, for that victory that you made clear with your resurrection. That resurrection power is within us today if you are born again. And so we believe that I have resurrection power. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.